This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wiggy being called fraudulent countless times on the Subaru of New England text line.
It's so fake.
You left your Sigmund Fraud. You left Bill Walton.
Yes.
And NFL Hall of Famer Bill Walton.
Yeah, when he was good at Portland.
He was the sixth man on the 86th team. You left him off of your list.
He averaged 8 points that year.
It doesn't matter.
When he was in Portland, he was good. When he got to the Celtics, he was a shell of himself.
These arguments are dumb anyway.
Stop it. I agree with Curtis.
But to suggest what many consider to be the best NBA team ever, along with the 95-96 Bulls, which is the 86 Celtics, who lost one game at home.
Yeah.
To suggest that this team would mop with them is
ridiculous. I'd have to agree with Curtis because it's a different era. He averaged 8 points and won sixth man of the year.
Curtis, any media elites who listen to the show weighing in on this?
Yeah, well, my man Gasper says that Walton was sixth man of the year in 86. I would just put this to you, Greg.
Thank you.
How many people in the world are great at basketball today versus 1985-86?
So probably the exact same percentage of the population.
Really?
Yes.
So the amount of international players that were in basketball in the United States in 1986 is the same as it is now?
No.
It's not even in the same stratosphere.
And it hurts me, Curtis.
I know it
does. It hurts me, but I agree with you.
But you just are a slave to the truth.
Yeah, I am on this one.
All right, Red Sox front office report right now, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox, joins us this morning. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Sam, like me, you grew up here, lived your whole life here, of a similar age. 1986 Celtics versus this team. Curtis brought this up. Who wins?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this team. It's close, but I think this team, and it's a hard call. But these guys are unstoppable.
Greg on an island.
He's on an island. It hurts me, Sam, to agree with Curtis.
It hurts Sam more, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have to agree with him.
Sam, Lucas Giolito expected to make his return next week. I thought it was really interesting, his interview with Mass Live, where he said he feels like he's been stealing money. The front office, I'm sure, doesn't feel that way, but for Lucas to feel that, what can you say about it?
Well, he has expressed that, and we understand that, but when you have an injury of his magnitude, it's part of the game. And we never in a million years would have thought that we would have ended up where we did with him, just given how much of a horse he had been throughout his career. So you can do all the due diligence you want, all the research, look at all the numbers, and injuries are just an unexpected part of the game. It's been brutal for him more than anything else, but we're excited to get him back. I think he'll go Tuesday night is the current plan, so it'll be great to see him back in action. And we just had Liam come back, same thing, and these guys do. They feel like they feel guilty. I've got a great relationship with Chris Sale. I can tell you he feels the same way, especially when you get to play in Boston, when you're not able to go out there and play in front of the best fans. It's brutal. So going to be excited to get him back.
Giolito, like Shime, apparently a huge Pokemon guy.
Really? That is something I know nothing about. Nothing. I can offer nothing on that topic.
Well, like most adults.
Not a Pokemon guy. Not a Pokemon guy.
I'd be happy to teach you, Sam.
I think he's busy.
I'll call you when I drop my other 947 hobbies.
Sounds good.
Speaking of things that were nice to hear, Garrett Crochet yesterday suggesting he would like more innings.
He's amazing. Let's keep him on a plan where he can talk about health, stay healthy throughout the whole year. But he's been incredible and bringing the leadership and the performance. And I know he said he doesn't feel like he's really found it yet, but great to be able to have him at the top of that rotation. And we need to win this series today. So let's get him out there doing what he does.
Sam, when you look at your team, it's frustrating a little bit because I think a lot of fans had higher expectations for a faster start. How do you not let, and I bet you guys probably believe the same thing, how do you not let those frustrations bleed into the clubhouse and then it affects you on the field?
It's a great question. Yeah, it's been a bit of an inconsistent start, I would say. And, you know, we have to remember we're like 15% of the way through the schedule. And I think in our last 10 games, we're 7-3. So that's a good sign. And we've got to get certain guys going. I mean, it's been great to see Tristan the last two nights. Feels like he's starting to find his swing. And we've had some guys out. We talked about injuries as part of it. We've got guys coming back, like Connor Wong, and like Lucas, and Bayo getting back in is great. So hopefully things will start to pick up from here. But we have been inconsistent, and we hope to turn that around. And it's all about winning series. That's really what we have to focus on as we get into the earlier part of May.
Sam, what's the process like in figuring out the future and the arrival date of a guy like Roman Anthony? I mean, best prospect in baseball. Is hitting like crazy in Worcester. Obviously, you know, many factors go into that. Could you give us some insight as to how you guys are preparing for his arrival this season?
Well, we just keep walking by Brez's office saying, come on, man, what are we waiting for? Let's go.
Well, we said the same thing to him when he was on last week.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have guys who are literally knocking on the door and trying to play their way into the big league lineup. I think the thing with him or anybody else, when you have someone who is in the sort of top of the minor league player development cycle, you want to make sure that they're fully ready. And when they come up, they're going to come up to stay. So when guys are performing who you already have at the big league level, you know, you do have a bit of a wait and see. So there's no magic to it. There's the old baseball thing. These things usually take care of themselves. I don't like saying that because that oftentimes results in an injury or someone underperforming. But it's been great to see, and I'm sure he'll be up sooner rather than later, but you never know, and that'll be a decision that Craig has to make, and he's got to navigate this over the weeks ahead.
In this day and age in baseball, do the economics play into it? Is there, you know, is it smart business to wait on him so you end up with a extra time on the end of the deal?
No, look, the best business is winning games at the big league level. I can tell you that. Nothing else matters. You can think about you know, roster construction as it relates to anything you need related to player development. But from a business perspective, winning games at the big league level is what it's all about. So to the extent anyone in our system that can help contribute to winning games at Fenway Park, that's what's best for business. We have to balance that with development and making sure that the guys are completely ready and that there's room, obviously, on the roster. So it's a good problem to have if you have guys performing and guys performing throughout the organization. But most important thing for business, Greg, is winning baseball games at Fenway Park.
Sam, you brought up Tristan Cassis. How long do you give a guy who is struggling – like a leash of to go out there and continue to compete for his starting job when you maybe do have some other guys that are hitting the ball down at AAA?
You have to be patient, as hard as it is. And case in point, the last two nights at Fenway. But I'll tell you, like, he has looked better. I think he's finding his swing. He's been hitting the ball the other way, which is always a good sign for a left-handed hitter at Fenway Park. So you have to be patient, and you'll be rewarded for it. We have really strong conviction and belief in Tristan and his makeup and what he's all about. So you do need to be patient if the belief and the conviction in the player is there, and it certainly is with Tristan Casas.
All right, Sam Kennedy, as always.
Sam, before you go, I just wanted to congratulate you for once again being named one of Boston's most influential people.
Wow.
Okay. Yep.
They didn't pull my kids, I can assure you. I don't know where that came from.
Number 25, not bad.
Yeah. Wow.
Out of 150.
It's climbing up the ladder. Yeah.
And Sam, Greg was 147 last year, not on it.
That
was 146, Curtis.
Oh, sorry.
But I've lost some influence somehow. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
We need to investigate. Let's call for an investigation, Greg. That's criminal.
It's a bit of a fraudulent list. I hadn't noticed it until it was brought to my attention. But apparently I have slipped off of the list of the most influential Bostonians.
Yeah, Ken Laird, 149, so congratulations to him.
You know what would be great? Just get more controversial. Be tougher on the sports teams. Just say controversial things. It'll help. Yeah. You'll rock it. You'll go right to the top.
Yeah. No, certainly congratulations. And, while the rest of you are moving on up, I'm apparently going in the wrong direction. But,
all right.
Back
next
Sam,
year.
Sam, appreciate it. All right, we will talk to you again next week. And certainly, Courtney, thank you for bringing
attention
of the world. I appreciate
you
it.
You got to
congratulate him.
Huh? Yeah, you got to do something.
What else could I do? How do you determine one's influence?
Bigger TV would help.
Couple things. Like, break something that's major news.
Right.
Okay.
Possible.
Well, I had a Bruins scoop recently. It didn't go
their way. Yeah, but it didn't go their way.
Bad timing on that puppy.
You know.
And I hate to really. There was a bonus. They actually went 151 this year.
Oh,
and Mayor Wu's newest baby was 151.
Oh,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Okay. Wear something.
Let's never
that,
talk about this list.
Like, wear something that's going to completely change the view on how people think of you. Like, wow, this guy is like fashion forward.
You think it's about my fashion?
Ooh. No, I'm just saying.
What about a diss track?
That could be it.
Yeah.
Into a beef.
Yeah. Maybe Acrobatic can help me, and I can do a diss track against everybody else who's on the list.
Why don't you go after Hardy? Right. Like, we'll do morning radio war.
Karen Reed, number 150.
Right. Well, probably took my place. Jaylen Brown is way up there. Right.
20.
Wow.
Number 20.
Probably accurate.
Yeah. I think he should be higher. Wick Grosbeck, number one.
Wick is number one. Yeah.
What?
Good for
he
Wick.
Does, what? Okay.
And if all else fails.
Wick is number one and Greg's not on the list? How does that make sense?
And if all else fails.
I should be 1A. Right. I'm
you're
always
Wick
right.
adjacent.
Right. He stopped short. You know what happens to me.
Hey, and all else fails, throw a sex tape out there. Leak something.
Okay, I just lost breakfast.
But listen, that'll shoot you right to the top.
Yeah.
Leak maybe a shower photo.
508 texter says the Marconi bump didn't last long enough, Curtis.
I'm not taking a shot at Hardy. I love Hardy.
There you go.
It's also interesting, like Jonathan Kraft.
Who said you're taking a shot at Hardy?
Rather be golfing.
Oh, no.
I'd rather you were golfing.
Get out of the shower with the Marconi and like slip. You know how Courtney did but have it real be more of a picture we can see. And the Marconi is in the right place.
Or you could do a tasteful centerfold where the Marconi is hiding your bits, but
But it can't be it has to be where it looks like he didn't know it.
Yeah,
that classic WAF photo of you guys in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not.
That was actually a television commercial.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, my fault.
That was back in the period of time in which radio spent money on marketing.
Right.
You remember that?
Oof.
Probably not.
I don't know if I was live for that.
Just one more. Philip Ng, number 16, the GM and CEO of the MBTA.
Oh.
Wow.
Moving fast.
I can do nothing about when the trains do or do not arrive. So he probably deserves.
But they haven't been 16. Working.
Well, that's okay. That's why he has influence.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we're going to we will get to Hill Notes coming up next. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. The Celtics take game two against Orlando 109-100. Jason Tatum was out of this one. Jaylen Brown led the way. He led the guys with a double-double, 36 points and 10 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was behind him with 20 points. Now Porzingis did go down after taking a hit to the head, resulting in a lot of blood. He took his free throw shots before heading to the locker room to get stitched up for a later return.
The guy is, the way he handled that, he just... Talk about somebody who has instant adoration of the fans here in Boston.
Yeah.
He plays to the fans so well all the time.
He does.
I love when you go there and you see him. He's always
he's also having fun.
Yeah.
He's
always got a smile on his face. Yeah.
Even when he was going out with all the blood everywhere, he was smiling, giving people high fives. Yeah. I don't understand how an elbow to the forehead could result in that much blood, though. I understand an eye because it's like a little...
Long catches fingernails. Long fingernails.
Yeah, it was an elbow.
But it catches you right there. You'll leak a little bit.
So the C's up 2-0 as the series heads to Orlando. Game 3 is tomorrow at 7. The Red Sox drop one to the Mariners, 8-5. The final at Fenway. Tristan Casas hit his second homer in 2 days. And Sean Newcomb went 5 innings, giving up 4 runs on 8 hits while striking out 8. The Sox will try to take the series today. First pitch at 1:35 with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Join Joe Weil at 12:35 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. And happy draft day. Pats pick 4, and the excitement kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern in Green Bay. You can join Chime right here on EEI for a little draft party. And homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420.
Shime, you gonna flex and sit in the one seat tonight?
No, it's Arcan's late night show, so
But what if you were just sitting in the one seat when the show started? It would be uncomfortable to ask you to get out of it.
That's true. It would also be very difficult to move me out of it. I just sit there like a dead weight.
Okay, 8 o'clock start?
Yeah, 8 o'clock start. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Me, Arcan, Mego, and Fitzy will be reacting to every draft pick all night long and being upset that the Patriots drafted Will Campbell.
And currently, quick, your top 5 mock wise, what do you got?
Yeah, it's Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell,
Jackson Dart.
Nope, Mason Graham, 5 to the Jaguars. Ashton Jeanty seems to have gotten a lot of steam, but I'm sticking with Mason Graham.
Your guy Tetero McMillan is dropping like a rock.
That's not true, actually. He's second in odds to possibly go 5th to the Jaguars. It's either him or Jeanty.
Yeah, he's going to be in the 20s.
What about that?
He doesn't drop farther than 12 to the Cowboys.
What about the unnamed NFL executive who said that Shador's in-person interview was the worst in the history of interviews?
Yeah. Kurt, the smartest thing Chris Curtis has ever said was anything that comes out the week leading up to the draft is bogus.
Okay, so you don't buy that?
No.
So then hopefully I won't
buy it. Where was that after the combine?
He seems like a really humble guy to you, does he?
No, it's not that he feels humble.
Runs in the Sanders family. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Look, I think Shador is. I honestly think Shador seems like a great kid. I don't see an issue with him. I just think that's both.
Well, I'm not buying Will Campbell to the Patriots then. Yeah. If Sean says don't buy a lot of this stuff, I'm not buying it.
All right, we'll be right back with Hill Notes next.
Joining us on WEEI, as he does each and every Thursday, Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collecting and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
McFarland. Oh, man, I'm so jacked up for some afternoon baseball. Let's go.
You know,
let's go. I'm jacked up for the draft. Let's go. What a day.
You know, Jones and Keefe going to be in the house today for Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
Humble brag, but we're going to be there today.
I heard that. Yeah, you're going to be mingling with the riffraff in the suite, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, not the riffraff. No way. We're going to be in the suite.
Sweet people.
Yeah, we're sweet people. Yeah. We're high rollers as well.
Oh, man. What a day it is. I'm going around talking to the guys about the draft. Blake Sable, very concerned about the Steelers. What are they, like 21, not being able to get a quarterback? He, by the way, I didn't know this, Blake Sable, second cousin of Troy Polamalu. So,
no way.
Yeah, all the connections.
No
yeah, oh,
way.
Yeah, second cousin of Troy Polamalu. And best friends
hair.
With Juju Smith-Schuster, best friends. So, yeah, the hits keep on coming.
He's probably seen some Snapchats over the years, I would imagine. Yeah, okay.
Rafael Devers, Rob, was the talk of the first week or so of the season. He got off to a really poor start, and then he had a hot week and a half. And then since then, I think he's like 4 for his last 40 or so. What's going on with Rafael Devers?
But I don't know if you heard Alex Cora. He said he's leading the league in walks. So
yeah, he's got a pile of walks, not a pile of hits.
A pile of walks.
Yeah.
A lot of free passes. Yeah, a lot of free passes. I mean, I think that this is a work in progress of him. And you have one of the greats. I've been meaning to Edgar Martinez just sitting here as a DH. And you know, anytime a lifetime DH comes in, which is basically what Rafael Devers is going to be now, you're reminded of David Ortiz or Edgar Martinez. They once played a position. I think I remember Edgar Martinez playing third. And you ultimately just have to accept it. I think that Devers has accepted it, but it's still like, okay, well, you need you to be the best version of yourself. And we said this early in the year when they started out 1-4. This is so important to have that dynamic of him in the middle of the order, especially when you didn't have plan A at the cleanup spot in Tristan Cassis. And so I think that, you know, I think this with the Devers thing, it's just, we're just going to have to ride it out. My guess is that he'll land where he usually lands. They'll have a good year. But, you know, they're very, very fortunate that they have a flawed team and they're treading water in an American league that really stinks.
Tristan Cassis, we've seen him homer in the last couple of games. He had a walk-off over the weekend. I chose to read into that. His comments after the game with Jamai Webster, he's kind of looking over his shoulder for a Gatorade bath that never came. We've talked to you before, Bradfoe, about, well, the hits, it's not going to matter about his attitude and how he carries himself. But I don't know, how is he popular among his teammates? How does he fit in that clubhouse? Because that was an odd scene after a walk-off for a guy who was struggling to kind of not get the celebration we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, so I get it. I get where, you know, where the crosshairs are on Tristan Cassis across the board. He's a very polarizing guy. And certainly, like, you know, when something like that happens, you're like, okay, does this add up to this? But I think that I told the afternoon show this. I think that he is a good teammate. I think at this point that his teammates and the players who have played with him have played with him long enough where they sort of know this is Tristan Cassis, this is who he is, and this is what he does. He's not like everybody else, you know. So I think that I don't think that how he is reflected in him not getting a Gatorade bath. I think that he's still viewed as a valued part of the team, a pretty much a good teammate. And so I get where this is coming from because he is undeniably the most polarizing athlete in Boston right now. I mean, that is a fact. But, you know, so – as you hit a couple home runs as you had did the last couple nights, all of a sudden, like, no one's really, oh, look at it. They're giving him high fives. Everything seems okay. But he better keep doing it, man. Like, he better keep doing it because if he doesn't, you know, the narrative changes in a hurry.
He did say all the young guys should start the year in the minors, and yeah. 2 out of 3 yeah. of them have, right? You know, Campbell's been up, and Campbell's been great. He's in center field today. But how close are we to Roman Anthony getting called up? I mean, I guess both of them, but Anthony's having a better start down there in Worcester. And if you see some of the, you know, Rafaela not in the lineup today, Hamilton's getting a start at second. Do you think it's happening anytime soon, or do they still have to wait for an injury?
Yeah, first of all, that was like such a moment, right? We focused so much on the Devers press conference early in spring training, but the Cassis thing saying these guys should stay in the minors. And one of the things I liked about that was that the young guys didn't back down. They're basically said, no, we're here to make the team. No. And you know, Marcelo is, you guys know Marcelo. I don't need
friend
to
of the show.
You know, you're very tight with Marcelo. I mean,
he's, put his meat hook right on my shoulder.
Yeah. They go up to Gass and says, hey, by the way, I'm going to make a team. Not literally, but that's sort of the mindset that they had. So that was just like such a weird, weird moment of a few. But I think to answer your question, I don't think anytime soon, because you had Anthony tearing it up, right? And Meyer wasn't doing well. You have Meyer tearing it up now, and Anthony's been okay. Now he's playing the field. All of this is just going to play out, and I think it's just really – Rafael is playing well enough. Hamilton serves his purpose. Story certainly has been pretty good. So none of it is leading to them to say, oh, we got to get desperate and call these guys up. I know that everybody wants them to be called up, but I don't think this is happening in the next couple months.
Okay. Is that purely based on the logjam in front of them? They have personnel at the big league level and they're going to be patient? Or is this about control and future contracts? And Christian Campbell played ball with them on a contract, so he's on the big club. And Meyer and Anthony were waiting for. Are there other elements to it as well?
No, I think it's honestly the luxury that they have and patience. Like, it's just the luxury they have. I think that in this day and age of baseball, especially with a market with, like, the Red Sox, with the Red Sox showing, like, in the last, whatever, 6 months, they're willing to spend the money on these guys, that part of it, I don't think it really is factored in nearly as much as, hey, we have the opportunity to be more patient than really like we would maybe be in years past, and a lot of teams would be, because we have plan A working out at the major league level. So I think that's the reason they're not called up right now, because we saw it. I mean, all it takes is 2 weeks, the narrative with Marcelo Meyer to begin the year, like, oh, what's wrong with Marcelo Meyer? And now he's tearing it up. Anthony could have a bad week and we could be having the same sort of thing. I think that there is still some work to do with these guys, and they just aren't desperate enough. Now, if you have a Willy Abreu get hurt, or you have a Rafaela get hurt, or certainly if you have a Trevor Story get hurt, then boom, there's no question asked. Those are the guys getting called up.
Now, I don't even want to jinx it, but are we getting Lucas Giolito next week?
Oh, boy.
Ooh, yeah. Toronto, I think, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's a bit of a cryptid. It's like, you know, we'll believe it when we see it type of thing with Lucas Giolito. But
well, when's the last time you saw him? The last time you saw him pitch was forever ago, right?
Yeah, like more than two pitches, you mean? Yeah, it was a long, long time ago. I think he was with the with the Angels for all.
he's certainly done more podcasts than he's thrown innings with the Red Sox. Yes. Yeah. But which has been awesome. As we talked about, you know, the conversations with Lucas, this never ending, starting with his granddad being on Seinfeld.
Right.
But it's, you know, I think that, you know, he's a guy that I think a lot of people think along the lines of what you said, right? Is that, oh, Lucas Giolito. But because there isn't a lot of hype, and there isn't a lot of, oh my goodness, this enormous, I mean, he has a big contract, but there's this huge expectation. It's almost like a luxury item, especially when you have other guys filling that role just fine. I mean, it's not like this guy is going to be dropped in. It's not like the Hendricks last year where everyone, wait till you get Liam Hendricks in August. He's going to be the closer. Like, no. I mean, Lucas Giolito is going to be a fifth starter, and if he's the Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, then he will be a huge, huge part of the solution and not the problem.
Real quick, Brad Foe, and I know it's calmed down a little bit. You know, the Red Sox have started winning. The strikeouts, I guess last night aside, have cooled to a degree. The errors have cooled to a degree. I was just checking, though. Bregman still leads the bigs in errors at third base with five. That's more than Jose Ramirez. That's more than Machado, Suarez, guys like this. Is there any word as to why that is? Has there been something the Red Sox have seen where he's been off mechanically? Is that a weird coincidence? Like, why did we go from thinking we were going to get a massive upgrade defensively at third base, gold glove caliber, to a guy leading the bigs at errors at that spot?
Well, I think, honestly, I think he has been a huge upgrade at third base. And if you look at the errors, a big part of it is that the first baseman hasn't bailed him out a whole bunch. And, I mean, that you still got to make a good throw. But there was a throw, for instance, I think his most recent error, it was, yeah, I mean, it was a one hop, but it was a one hop right before the glove. It was a play that Casas has to make. So, you know, I still, to come back to it, I still think that he's an upgrade. There's no question about in terms of all the plays across the board that he's making. Listen, I mean, errors are errors. It's a results business. But I don't think that issue right now is at the top of the list in terms of the Red Sox overall problems.
Last thing for me, Bradfo, a lot of season left, but do you think Aaron Judge will hit 400?
No, man. But he's
hitting 415.
Right. He's underrated.
That's a headline.
Guys, smacking the ball around.
Break that out. Bradfo says Judge will not hit 400. Wow. Let's break that out. Yeah, wow. We could. Yeah.
Hold on. Colin. Yeah, Bradfo, Colin. Judge will not. Judge stinks.
Bulletin board material for Judge.
Listen, I still have the meme of him walking by with a boombox from 2018. do you think he's underrated? Like, seriously, dude, like this is one of the baseball's problem, right? I mean, we have this guy who is
underrated in baseball, but as a athlete in the United States, maybe. Yeah, maybe that.
No, but even in baseball, he might be, because I feel like Shohei Ohtani gets all the attention, and then like over the last decade, everyone's like, well, Trout. So it's like Trout and Ohtani, but it's like, look at what this guy's been doing. So maybe he is.
But it almost feels like Trout, and I come back to, you know, the baseball's problem in terms of perception, personality, and all this stuff. And, you know, I can't get away from the Netflix thing, which lends itself to that conversation as well. But you know, let's just say that Aaron Judge is on the Netflix thing. They're following him around. Are you like, oh my goodness, like that's great for baseball? Like, no, he's a really, really good baseball player, but he's very professional. He's not dynamic, just like Trout hasn't been dynamic in terms of perception and publicity. And I think that's a problem for baseball. Aaron Judge could be the best player in baseball right now, other than Shohei Ohtani. And yet people are like, oh, yeah, am I going to get the Judge jersey? That's okay. I'm good.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge won't hit 400 and yet underrated, according to Rob Bradford.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Every week, Thursdays, here on Jones and Keefe at 11:30. We appreciate the time. Check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. You can hear it there. Bradfo, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
I'll save some lobster tails for you. I'll see you soon.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
We'll see Bradfo.
How many lobster tails do you think I can fit in my mouth at once? We'll find out.
We are about to find out. There's no doubt. Jones and Keith brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. His answer on Bregman's defense is interesting. I guess Will Middlebrook said something similar to the Greg Hill show, that Cassis's defense is costing Bregman, and it's almost like we're putting it on Cassis now, which I'm all for piling on that guy, but I agree. I feel like we're letting Bregman off the hook a little bit with that commentary.
Yeah, I mean, leading the league in errors is still leading the league in errors.
Interesting, but that's what...
So you're telling me he should have more errors?
I'm just saying, it's interesting. That's coming from somewhere, which, again, lets you know they're not super fond of Cassis over
No,
there,
of course not.
Which is interesting.
Do you agree with Bradford he's the most polarizing?
I would maybe say Swayman. That's the name that jumped into my mind when he said it.
I thought that too, but then, like, who is now defending Swayman?
Oh, good point.
He might not be polarizing at all.
Who's defending Cassis? Carrabas. Yeah, there you go.
Hogsdale.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. At least there's some defenders.
And we go now to Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who is joined on WEEI Afternoons each week and brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, how are we doing today, and what did you think of the return to your pitching mound for one Brian Baio?
Doing well. Obviously excited about Brian being back. He did a good job yesterday maneuvering that first inning and giving us five. You know, he ran into trouble a little bit at the end. He made some good pitches on Randy and got the strikeout. And for the first outing, 96, 97 pitches, I think that's what he was. You know, it was more than enough and gave us a chance to win.
Hey, Alex, you're just early on, you know, it's been, you know, kind of much maligned. Tristan Casas, he's had a couple big hits just in the last few games. He hits a 3-run homer in the 7th, opened things up last night. What was your message to him after the game yesterday?
Keep rolling, guy. Keep going. He's been grinding mechanic wise, you know, they've been working a few things. I don't know if people notice his stance was different than 2 days ago. It was more upright, very similar to 23. And, you know, there's a kid that he dominates the strike zone, as you guys know. You know, he's very patient. He swings at the right ones. But we want him to drive the ball. You know, you cannot just be pleased with walking, you know. This guy that we believe he can hit in the middle of the lineup, obviously giving him some breathing room, hitting in the bottom third. You know, we got Willier who's swinging back great, hitting up there. But we believe in Christian, and when the process is the right one, and the process is swinging the strikes and do not chase, you're going to be okay. But mechanically, he's been a little bit off. He's been working hard with Peter and the group, and hopefully that swing yesterday is the beginning of something great.
Alex, it seems like Walker Buehler is starting to rediscover himself and hit a really great stride for the team. That's two quality starts in a row. The first was his longest start in 4 years, and then he goes seven innings, giving up one run and striking out nine the other day. How important is that, not only just for the rotation, perhaps with Hauk struggling intermittently, but also the confidence in bringing him aboard?
No, there's a guy that he bet on the Red Sox. He bet on himself, right? He got a one-year deal, and he wanted to pitch here. And we all know the potential, right? We all know what he's done throughout his career. Towards the end of last season, in October, the way he threw the ball was very intriguing. I'm glad that he's here with us. Pitchability comes into play, and at this level, when you have three different fastballs, you got the cutter, you got the sinker, you got the four-seamer, that's pretty tough to hit. You know, as a hitter, you got to pick your poison, right, and you have to show conviction going after one. Imagine trying to hit three, and it's very hard. And when he throws strikes, he's really good. The walks have been up there the last two, but as far as like what he has done for us, it's been fun to watch. It's a good conversation. A lot goes into his outing. He knows his craft, and I'm very pleased with everything he's doing for us.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Last year, near the end of the season, you talked a lot about how it was a young club and a lot of young players were getting experiences. I feel like the flip side of that was on display last night, the left side of your infield. Bregman gives you a couple doubles, and then that Trevor Story turn on the double play where he spins around, makes the play, and we can get to the replay aspect of that later. How foundationally productive, I guess, are those two players to sort of where you feel like this team is and where it's going?
Yeah, I think if you look at the lineup, and we've been moving Trevor within the fourth and fifth spot depending on matchups and what the opposition has in the bullpen. You know, 2, 3, 4 and five, even Willie. I mean, Willie, he's young, but he's a mature bat, right? And I think the last two games have shown that you don't have to hit the ball at the ballpark to win games. Although, yeah, we got the big swing by Casas, but we worked the count, we took our walks, and then we put pressure on the opposition. It's a very athletic team that can run the bases well. And it starts right now with Rafi, man. Rafi is leading the league in walks. Who would have thought that, right? And we know Jerian's going to get going. But when you have mature bats that, you know, you don't rush into it, you know, you're not looking for results, you know, the process, and you just want to hit the ball hard, it helps, you know. And we're going to run into some good pitching staffs, you know. Seattle is one of them. Then we go to Cleveland. They're really good. And then we go to Toronto, and you saw what they did to us. So slowing down the game is very important. I think we've done that offensively. I hope we get better defensively, and we should, right? Like, we are a lot – I mean, I think as far as, like, defensive run saves, we're top three in the league. For errors, I don't like them, right? We lead in the league. But in all aspects of the game, when you have veterans that can help everybody else, you feel good as a manager.
Alex, you know, you see, watch Trevor Story. You know, he's going into his fourth year in Boston here, and he just, I don't know, my vibe is just from body language watching him play is like he's kind of feeling himself. Like, he just seems more relaxed, more confident. You know, and you're laughing, so you know where I'm going.
I'm telling you, yeah.
I mean, do you see a guy that's maybe the most relaxed and maybe his headspace is at a place that's the most positive it's been since he's been at Boston Red Sox?
Well, I know a lot about Latino music. I don't know much about American music, but hold on. Are you guys there? Yeah. I don't know much about American music, but in his walk-up song on the first at-bat, I know the lyrics go like, look who's back, you know, and that tells you a lot, you know, like when that happens, you know, the kid, he works, man. He's not lack of work. He's just bad luck, right? Like he's been hurt, you know, like broken. I mean, surgery and then the shoulder, you know, elbow surgery, then shoulder surgery, man, it's major freaking injuries, right? And I hate when they say he's injury prone, man. He's just bad luck, right? And now the way he's swinging the bat, the way he plays defense, is fun to watch. And watching those two moving around over there and the communication factor has been great. And you guys know the athlete, man. He can run too, and so far it's been great.
And it makes a lot of sense that before the season, Alex Bregman, who's also playing his ass off these days, told us that Trevor Story might be the most important player to the Red Sox offense as well, and we're seeing it bear fruit right now. Speaking of offense, Alex, it feels to me like Jaron Duran is on the verge of really heating up. He's got a base hit in 9 straight games. How important is it for him to be the catalyst to this offense really getting going?
I mean, you saw it yesterday. Polanco hits a homer. They get the bases loaded. We get the double play. And then, you know, he's the triple down the line. Rafi hits a sack fly. And it's just energy for a group. And he doesn't feel great at the plate, which is, you know, you said it, you know, nine game hitting streak, you know. I wish I didn't feel great and hit in 9 games in a row. That never happened. You know, I never felt great. But one of the things right now, and you can see it, yesterday he was able to pull the ball, right? And last year, that's something he did with power. Right now, you know, he's hitting the ball hard the other way. But when he gets where he wants to be mechanically, then good things are gonna happen. You know, 2 walks, I think it was 2 days ago, which is great. That's always kind of like a good sign for the hitter. And hopefully he can take off and get this going the right way.
Alex, one of the talking points coming out of the game last night was about replay and, you know, that double play in the first inning and, you know, they didn't get it in fast enough, whatever. So I was just wondering your general thoughts. Do you like the replay system? Do you think it's worked the way it should? Are there any changes you'd like to see? What are your thoughts on the replay system you guys use?
I think it's been good. Honestly, I think they can do more, to be honest, right? If we have X amount of plays that we can challenge, you know what? Let's get every play right. That's the way I see it. Obviously, with technology, I do believe it's very possible to accomplish that. But I think, you know, since replay was installed, I think it's been okay. It's been good.
Alex, if you'll just indulge me for a second, I'm just curious. We're out in Lambeau Field. We're doing the show out here from Lambeau in Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Patriots draft tomorrow night, you know, the draft is, and they pick up 4th overall, and there's a lot of talk about the Patriots maybe selecting an offensive tackle who from LSU. But the book on him, Alex, is that he's got short arms, and do we draft a guy that's got short arms at that position? And I was just curious if that transfers to baseball. I mean, are there specs, are there measurements that you look at in players at certain positions, and is there anything you can think of in the past where a player that was deficient from a physical standpoint was able to overcome it? Because that's what it feels like the Patriots are going to have to do if they draft Will Campbell. Is there anything similar that you can maybe draw from in baseball when it comes to measurements and that kind of stuff with a player?
I bet there's a lot of stuff that goes into that process, right? At the end of the day, I think in this sport, right, there's a lot of capable people that can perform, right, from Dustin Pedroia to David Ortiz. One thing for sure, when we talk about short arms, you know, here, Alex Bregman, Edgar Martinez, you know, they come into mind, and they're really, really good hitters, right? I mean, they're able to stay inside the ball and do a lot of things with certain pitches. So, yeah, I think this is a sport, you know, it's different than the NFL, different than the NBA, that I think physical attributes, yeah, matters, but I truly believe that not as much as those other two sports.
Alex, by chance, did you ever yell "get up" to an injured player that was down on the ground in a game?
From the other side, yeah.
I know there was the whole thing. You know, Joe Mazzulla says that he loves his players, but obviously it's kind of a tough love as well, and it's working for them. Yeah, obviously it's working.
You know
well
what I do now? Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed when Rafaela got hit and Bregman, you know, and that was this past weekend. you know, they're over there. I'm like, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm good. Say, you know what you got to do? Sprint to first base. The fan base, they love that, you know. And mm-hmm. they actually do. You know, they sprint to first and they get a standing ovation. So that's what we're doing now here.
Awesome. Alex, before we let you go, I got to ask you, what would it take for you to put the Wally helmet on?
Ooh, you know what it will take. You know, I'll do it, you know, hopefully at the end of October. I'll do that, you know. Hopefully we can play good baseball and make it to the playoffs and do the cool thing that happens here on Fenway. And if that happens, then, you know, I'll do the whole parade with the Wally head. I'll do that.
I love it. But I also love that you wouldn't say the exact words, sort of like not touching the Stanley Cup. You wouldn't say two words.
No, we're not.
All right, Alex, appreciate you joining us again this week. Keep that winning streak going, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have fun in Green Bay. Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora, and I'm going to say
that surprised me a little bit.
What's that?
To my question, I would think like bigger. Does big hands? The guy's got two big hands.
No, like, because if you look, and what jumped into my mind when he was answering was your boy Jose Altuve, standing with Aaron Judge on second base and saying, "Those two guys are MVP caliber baseball players, and they couldn't be more fit." It's like you and I when people were making fun of me when we did the measuring thing on, and they're like, "Hey, this reboot of Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger looks fun." Like, you can succeed in baseball with short arms, long arms, short leg. Like,
and there's dominant pitchers like Pedro that are shorter, and there's dominant pitchers like like the big unit,
Randy Johnson,
yeah. right? So that's interesting. I just thought maybe he would give us an example that would dispute that, but not the case.
I think we also just may have had the most historic interview in the history of radio. Like, how many interviews took place where we connected Lambeau Field to Fenway Park? I mean, Fenway Park and Lambeau Field, like, those are two of the most iconic, historic.
Only WEI's afternoon can pull
that off.
That's
right. Only WEI afternoons can pull that off. Up next, we'll talk about those Red Sox. Last night, they got the win, and they are getting very close to first place in the division, the AL East. So that slow start, we'll look past that because things are rolling for the Red Sox. Talk about it next here on WEI Afternoons.
Well, it's a veritable who's who of Boston down here at the Capitol Grill because our pal Sean Flaherty, the managing partner of Ketch's Law, just stopped by. Hello, are you?
Hello.
Happy marathon to you.
Happy marathon to you.
We have a big – we just launched a big thing with you guys called We Built This City.
That's right, and it's rolling, and happy to announce it's rolling wonderful because of the hard work of the – men and women here at WEI.
So we're trying to honor those who built the city.
Yes.
And who qualifies?
You qualify if you are living in New England and you're a hardworking person that otherwise doesn't get the credit that you deserve.
Okay.
An iron worker, a plumber, a nurse, a school teacher, someone who grinds it every day, works your tail off, goes unnoticed most of the time, and we want to take this moment to notice those people and to give them the credit that they deserve because they are the ones, in our opinions anyway, that built the city.
Yeah, so nominate whether it's your dad, your grandpa, your sister, your brother, your friend.
That's right.
Nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com.
WeBuiltThisCity.com. You can nominate, put a picture up of the person, and then people start voting, and the votes have been coming in fast and furious for people throughout New England. Some great stories, too. Really, really great stories about people and the hard work, and working two jobs, getting up at 4 a.m. to get to the job site, to work in the freezing cold, to work in the scorching sun all day. And
you're going to put them up on billboards.
We're going to put them up on billboards. Wow. We're gonna have a big party for all the winners at the end of the year.
Nice.
And it's going to just be a way for us to say thank you to all of the men and women that do what it takes to make this city thrive. The truck drivers, the Teamsters, all the people that do the things that we just kind of pass through life thinking is going to happen.
That's
true,
so cool.
Like the true hardworking hero.
That's right.
Like the celebrities who went to space.
That's right. just like Gail King.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My queen.
I tell you, some great comments out of that group.
Oh, was that awesome? And just asking for Ken, you can't nominate yourself.
Right. Okay. That is so cool.
We're not looking for the Tom Brady's of the world. We're looking for the, you know, the Wiggins of the world, basically.
Yeah. All right.
The guys in the trenches.
Yeah. I'd nominate my boy Danny Eck, been driving a trash truck forever, clean, keeping our city clean.
Okay.
Or Johnny Bart.
Johnny Bart's another one.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. We all know someone that should be nominated, and that's kind of the point.
All right. We want if there. Derek Lowe doesn't call in and that does emotional damage to Curtis, would you represent him in a lawsuit against me?
We just finished up the one with Tom Brady.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Okay.
When Curtis didn't get to meet him.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. You're always there.
All right, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
thank you all.
Thanks
thank you
for everything.
Thank
you. Do
keep up the great work.
For all of us.
Thanks,
all right.
Sean.
Thank you.
So cool. Sean Flaherty from Catches Law. I think we're going to hear from D-Lo before the end of the show.
Keep manifesting that.
I'm getting messages, and I think there may have been some confusion on time and you know, you're traveling
different time zones. You never know where
you know how that goes, Curtis.
I mean, believe me, as I said, you don't owe me anything. I would love to see Derek Lowe. Maybe he was afraid when I said I'd be humping his leg.
It's all right. I think D-Lo will like it.
so we're
no, that you're a huge fan of him.
Right. Not the humping.
I met him at Pedro's event. He's such a nice guy. Yeah. I told you, I don't realize how big he was. He's a legit like 6'4".
Yes, he is.
Just in case anybody is like Courtney's age and doesn't remember it vividly, every closeout game of the 2004 World Championship run was started by Derek Lowe, a guy that was left out of the rotation during the year because of poor performance, was back, pitched Game 7 in New York. We all remember the Damon Grand Slam. We remember, you know, the bloody sock in Game 6. We don't talk about that Derek Lowe, on 2 days' rest, shut down the Yankees in Game 7. You can't overstate what he meant to that team. And in 2003, one of the great series, ALDS, Red Sox A's, ninth inning, tying run at second or at third base, winning run at second. Like a 9-pitch at bat, one of the most unbelievable late-breaking curveballs right over the middle. Terrence Long struck out looking, and Derek Lowe stood to the bench of the A's and did the like old like crotch shot.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
spectacular.
Did it surprise you when Will Middlebrooks was talking about how winning that series for this city after the Marathon bombings was everything and was the factor in winning it? Because you hear talk about that and it's like, okay, it sounds great, but you never realize. Did it surprise you when he was saying that's why they won it?
I thought that those stories were fascinating that Will gave. I thought, if you missed it, I strongly recommend Will Middlebrooks with us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. But that team, I always want like Billy Beane or the people that don't believe in actual human emotion or people that can overachieve or clutch. Like, that team was buoyed by the people that were impacted. If you remember every home game, you know, Jeff Bowman or Carlos or, you know, you name the person or the doctor or the first responder.
Richards family.
The Richards family that was throwing out the first pitch. It was unmistakable how intertwined those two were. And that team was not expected to do anything.
No. Yeah.
The 13 Red Sox. Yeah.
And the fact that it was just kind of like unspoken.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Curtis, are you ready for a career highlight?
Yes.
Joining us right now, it is Derek Lowe for Chris Curtis. Derek, good morning.
Hey, thank you. I just got the info. I was supposed to be on your show. My buddy called and said, hey, I think you're supposed to be on. So here I am.
I'm blaming this all on the Veritex, because the Veritex said they were having you over
100%.
Did they have you over for Easter?
We were supposed to go last night. We went to a buddy's mine in Easton. But, no, I got invited.
Okay.
But
they were going to pass the word along. They're going to pass the word along because Curtis, our Red Sox savant here,
right.
This is, other than Tom Brady, this is the highlight of his of his broadcast right. Career.
James is second.
Speaking to you, Derek.
Derek, it is an honor on behalf of everybody in our listening audience. I want to say thank you for the World Series. Without you, the 2004 team is an afterthought. What is your singular moment? Was it Game 7 on 2 days' rest? Is there anything that you look back on 20 years ago that sticks with you above all else, given that historic postseason run you were part of?
That's a good question. I would honestly say game four, actually, for me. We obviously, I don't know, what was it, 18-7, we lost game three. And, you know, it was a huge opportunity for me. As people know, I was in the bullpen to start the playoffs. And I needed a moment, to show, I was a free agent, I had a terrible year, and I needed a moment to show myself, but more importantly, the Red Sox and baseball, that I could still pitch. And to keep us in the game, I think a lot of people probably were driving that game thinking, oh, God, we're going to get destroyed. And to kind of keep us in the game, give us some momentum. So that was, for me, my biggest game. And then definitely game seven would be number two. But it was great. With Johnny, we got up to an amazing start, and I was able to kind of settle in. But, yeah, game four, again, to kind of keep us in the series.
Yeah, I feel like the way the postseason began is forgotten with you not being in the rotation and obviously, entering an offseason where you were a free agent. What was more pressure, you to perform in that game four for your future, or was it, holy crap, did you think you had a shot down 3-0 entering that start in game four?
you always have hope, but I think, everyone, the Kevin Millar famously said, don't let us win one, but, you have to say there's hope, but, it wasn't, hey, let's just win one and we'll cruise type of thing. They had five or six guys in their lineup that were just all hitting over 500. Daunting task, have to go into Yankee Stadium. But, the old saying, one day at a time. I know it's so boring, so cliche, but small hope. But, we had to get to game five somehow, and David Ortiz, single-handedly carried us for the whole series pretty much.
I mean, Millar really takes credit for the whole thing. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Of course he does. He was a hoot, man. He was a hoot. You need those guys. You need the positive guys. Guys did show up with amazingly positive attitudes. Game four, honestly, it was a special team. Guys truly got along. Truly rooted for one another. So I don't think guys, wanted the season to end. But you also got to be realistic too. No one has ever done it in baseball history, but. It's funny because a lot of people, including myself, I have very vague memories of the World Series. Some people don't even know who we played. It's pretty much everyone remembers that series and that series alone.
Yeah.
Can you tell us now, did you really hate Alex Rodriguez? Was he just a guy that you guys didn't like?
Hate's a strong dislike. We'll go with dislike. Yeah, it was just a special time. If you look at both sides, both teams, you're looking at 8 or 9 Hall of Famers, basically. Some guys got in, some guys didn't. But it was just a very special time of just uniquely talented people. How often do you get a Pedro, Roger Clemens matchup? Obviously, what happened in 03 clearly had a lot to do with it. We all thought we were going to win Game 7, and we could talk about that forever, but it didn't happen. And so, yeah, it was just a great, great history, great time, and it's amazing. I just moved back to Boston, and, they've won 2 World Series since, but boy, oh boy, people remember that 04 series for sure.
Derek, you talk about the some of the guys. What was it like to play with those guys on that team? You're talking about Pedro, Big Poppy, one guy that I loved Manny Ramirez, Shillin. Yeah. Just like to be part of that type of roster with those type of players, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was obviously awesome. It was nerve-wracking when I was a reliever trying to come in games trying to finish games after Pedro pitched. No one wanted to see us, trust me, out of the bullpen. It was special. I think you look back and you wish you would have enjoyed it a little bit more. The honor of watching a Shilling and a Pedro and, like you said, Manny and David. It was just an extremely close-knit team, like I said earlier. Everyone got along. Just talent everywhere. People, Bill Miller won a batting title. No one even remembers that. But yeah, it was just, the additions in it, with Doug and Cabrera, the front office did a great job, but yeah, it was just, when people say chemistry doesn't matter in sports, they've obviously never been in a locker room. You definitely need it, and we had it for sure.
Derek, well, I want to thank you because 04 was the first time I saw my dad cry, and he talks about it to this day. Like, anytime that we talk about Red Sox, he brings you up, he talks about 04. But you got somebody like Curtis who talks about it quite frequently. Is that Boston-specific in your mind, where you have people that still come up to you and thank you for 04?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, I've since moved back here, and I mean, there's definitely days that go by that people don't bring it up, but and people have such strong memories of the 04 team. You know, and talking about crying, I mean, the parade was amazing to see grown men cry, you know, people just endlessly thanking you. And, you know, I don't think we kind of knew it, you know, make a lasting impression on the town, but I don't think we realized, you know, how much. You know, we came back last year for our 20th anniversary, and just the thanks and the remembrance. And I think that's what beauty of sport is, especially in a town like Boston, is people will never forget what you did, good or bad.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. I'm sorry that Catherine Vera.
Yeah, no worries. Jason, I'm going to go run the marathon, so I got to get going here.
Yeah, no.
I'm kidding.
We appreciate it. Well, you're going over to the park today, so everybody will see you over there today, and then we'll see you later on over here at Capitol Grill, I think.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate it. We'll see you guys in a little bit.